One of the strangest books to find in the Bible is the one we call Ecclesiastes, written by a man who thinks that life is vain and empty. At one point, he says in despair what most of us have felt at some time. Everything is a repetition of what has been already. There is nothing new under the sun. But the Bible is a library of books, and there is music in it more appropriate for a day like this. David speaks exuberantly of a new song, Isaiah of a new name and a new earth, Jeremiah of a new covenant, Ezekiel of a new heart and a new spirit. And much later in Christian literature, Paul had a message for his Christian friends who were debating whether they needed to be marked in the flesh to prove their faith. He said, "Whether you are or whether you aren't is of no real importance. The only thing that counts is a new creation in you. New life, new hope." Paul certainly did not think that there could be nothing new under the sun. He wrote to the Christians in the busy trade center of Corinth that if a man is in Christ, which I take to mean absorbed by Christ's way of looking at things, then he becomes a new person, a new creation. And to such new people, Christ himself had already said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." So our disillusioned friend in Ecclesiastes was wrong. There are some things new under the sun. We begin on this Easter morning with the fresh and the new because it is inevitable that we should think on this day of how death was changed to some kind of new life, of how loneliness and loss were transformed into an eternal friendship. How fortunate it was that the dawn of new hope for the disciples could be celebrated in the spring when the cold fist of winter relaxes, the sun claims a longer life from dawn to dusk, and a promise swells under our feet and before our eyes that new life is about to be resurrected. If we're not so busy that we don't even notice, this is the most exciting thing that happens in the natural world. The eternal fact that life comes back after the long death of winter has provoked the imagination of men and women ever since the human brain began to dread the gray sky and ice and to remember what it was like to be warm and to dream of the sun's coming back. 1,000 stories have been fashioned to explain the miracle of green leaf and yellow flower and the tender grass pushing stubbornly through the soil in a silent explosion of life. The myths have been forgotten. Science tells us now about orbit and axis, but something still stirs inside us, poignant and childlike, when spring comes. I made a phone call this time last year to the little town in Oklahoma where my mother was living by herself. As usual, she chronicled for me all the little sorrows that came so often into her restricted world. An old friend had had a heart attack. An elderly cousin had gotten news of a hopeless disease. I confess that it was a little depressing, though there was one thing to redeem it. She did not complain of the solitude life had enforced. She tried always to be glad for something. And on this particular day, she was excited because it was getting warm. Life was beginning again all around her house. And she could forget the long prison of winter, even her occasional loneliness, for someone who had been with her before I was. It reminded me of a song that jazz singer Nina Simone wrote. The words are a little flat without the music, but if you can make your own, this is how she spoke of new life, resurrection of a kind. Old people talk to themselves when they sit alone all day. This old woman I know, I used to go there and sit with her, and she'd be sitting around in her rocking chair talking to herself, and she'd say, "The cold gets in my bones so bad till I just don't think I can go on. I'd just as soon be gone sometimes. Sometimes the night comes down on me and I know what's ahead. An evening in this cold old house with no one to say goodnight to me when I go to bed. Sometimes I don't know why I stay. What am I waiting for? My children are grown and gone away. They got children of their own, don't need me anymore. Winter, when the streets are bare and there's nothing much to see, I can't help missing that kindly man that one old winter came and took away from me. Then one morning, another spring is suddenly there outside my door. Things are blooming, birds are singing, and suddenly I'm not sad no more. It's warm, and the sun is out. It's like my heart's restored. I've had my love, I've had my children, and I've had so many memories. So don't mind me complaining what the years may bring, because this world has been kind to me, and I'm thankful for seeing another spring." So are we. What would we do if hope did not come back into our lives once in a while? If there were no new beginnings to make us forget our failures? If it were not for the eternal fact that there can be something new under the sun? And Easter morning is the perfect time to think about new beginnings, because the man whose compelling life brings us each week to this place seemed once, when he died, to have come to the blank end of everything he wanted. But appearances were deceiving, as they often are, and his death actually marked the birth of something new in the world. The old friendship was over. The walking tours, the stirring talk of great ideas, that was gone. But in some strange way, we may never quite understand, his life and spirit were resurrected in the hearts of those who had listened to him and loved him, and they became his new body. They had a new song, a new hope, a whole new way of looking at the world. From despair and death, the church was born. If you are a careful student of the biographies of Christ, you know about the conflicting stories of the resurrection. You know also that Paul does not seem to be describing a physical resurrection when he talks of his risen Lord. But those cruxes, once so startling and worrisome to me, have now only a kind of academic attraction. What is really vital to my concept of Christianity is that a resurrection of the life of Christ, of His way of looking at things, should take place in the human heart and mind. The real meaning of Easter for me is the eternal chance that such a miracle can happen. I don't even feel a compulsion to talk often about the possibility for some kind of life beyond the grave. It seems to me enough that if I live this one right, richly and completely, and life does indeed survive the grave, there is no way I can miss it. But there is something that strikes me as distressing, often tragic. I know people who miss out on this life while they talk endlessly about the chance of another one, who while they puzzle over whether they will know one another in heaven, are failing to know one another here, who while they mull over the promised riches described in John's revelation, are missing the one time only riches of this life. So may I stress this morning the resurrections that come here, the new beginnings that make life always exciting. We're afraid of them sometimes. Maybe we need to remember what the messenger said in the resurrection story of the gospel. When the women found the unexpected at the tomb, he said, "Do not be afraid." It was as if he were trying to say to them that the death of one way of life, no matter how dear it was, may be the beginning of another that will also be good. I know some of you who need to believe that today, just as I know that others of us will need to believe it tomorrow. Sometimes the new thing is born out of great anguish. And the church's story reminds us that it may begin at a cross in fear and loneliness. The men and women who once lived with Jesus of Nazareth in such high hope ran away when the world died, and for a while they were as dead as he was. They couldn't imagine what was going to be resurrected out of the grave of their own darkness. People seldom can. A man I know spoke recently of two friends who stopped to see him on their way to the West Coast. They were happy that day, but he remembered when they were not. Their marriage got off to a bad start, and for years it looked as if they could not make it work. Some of their friends thought when they had a little boy that his life would bring them closer. But he died of meningitis without managing that for his warring parents. Even in his death, they were not reconciled. They found it hard just to sit together at the funeral. Several days later, they were packing up their little boy's things, and the woman's hand came to rest for a moment on a stuffed toy he had cherished and held at night to be with him in sleep. I'm sorry if this sounds contrived, but the truth is that the years of bickering were all at once trivial. The wall of separation broke between them, and she reached out for a hand already on its way to her. Out of the death and burial of that marriage, against all odds, new life came. After the resurrection, they made a happy home for two other children who came along. We shall not be too contrived. It doesn't always happen. What we need to remember on this particular day is that it sometimes does. Surely even our guests will forgive me if I take only a moment on this glorious day to rejoice in the hope that one year from now we will be in our own building for the first time since we became a church almost exactly 3 years ago today. We had our own darkness for a while, and then a morning in April, which none of us who were there will ever forget. And now this summer, we will watch our house being built. It does not seem likely that we will be able to install an organ at first. They are expensive. But I thought you might enjoy hearing how one woman in our church decided to celebrate today. She sent me a check for $1,000, having already given much more than that. And she enclosed this note. Just maybe this will play the first 5 notes of Morning Has Broken on the pipe organ. I know her life and how many times she has stood beside the grave of her own hopes, but instead of fear or cynicism or selfishness, she keeps starting over. No sermon has to explain to her the real meaning of Easter. Where there are so many people met in one room, more than one will be in desperate need today of a fresh start. May I wish for you, in the name of this day, new hope, new life, when you leave this place where we have met as friends.